Did you get the sheets on it? You got it? Okay, chapter 2 of Zephaniah. And we stopped at verse number 10 last time, verse 9 actually. So we'll begin with 9, 10, and 11. We get that as a background. If we have Zephaniah chapter 2, and beginning 9, 10, and 11. 9, 10, and 11. Let's begin by reading verse 9 together. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Thus as they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord shall be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Mark Zephaniah is talking about the coming judgment on Nineveh, on the near fulfillment. And Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, that big place where the northern tribes were carried away in about 700 B.C. Oh, here's Nineveh. This whole area is Assyria. And Nineveh's up there. God's talking about the near fulfillment of his the captivity of the Judah and the northern kingdom into that captivity. And he says in verse number 9, that Moab shall be as Sodom. Remember we mentioned last week, the Sodomites are here among us. It's a terrible thing indeed. In fact, our president has nominated the head of all the secular national schools of America. They've nominated as a leader, one of his czars, out and out homosexual, who intends to teach homosexuality lifestyle to all the kids in all the schools. I got a paper on that today. I will give it when I come back and put it on the rack for you. But it says that the parents cannot take the students out of there. We've got to say that everything's all right. Alternative lifestyles from ages grades 1 to 5. Five-year-olds, like little kids. But talk about the day of Sodom, children of Gomorrah, breeding the nettles. And so we have it today. So they had it in their day as well. God's going to destroy them and judge them, and that perpetual desolation, the residue of my people shall spoil them, the remnant of my people shall possess them. Now, the far fulfillment is the day of the Battle of Armageddon, where God will take over these things. But remnant, what is a remnant?
Small amount
shall possess them. If a small amount of people, how can that possess a greater amount? Has that ever happened?
Sure has. Godly people will run godly.
All right, we're always in a minority, the godly people, and wide is the gate, and many there be that go in there, and there is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's the right stand. And then in verse number 10, this shall they have for their pride. What is the cause of the breeding of nettles and salt pits and judgment? What is the cause here in verse 10 that this is going to happen?
Sin.
Sin. What kind of sin is it? That's right. Spell that.
It's fornication.
Well, it could be fornication, but verse 10, what is the sin that they mention there?
Pride.
Pride. What is pride? How would you define pride?
Wanting to be like the Most High.
Wanting to be like the Most High. That was Satan's pride, wasn't it? And Isaiah? Phil? Ego, that's something. Pushing ourselves. What does it say about pride going before what? A fall. A haughty spirit before destruction. This is a scriptural thing. So, that was the sin of the devil, wasn't it? As Laura said, pride. And that's why the deacons in the church should be looked over first, lest they fall into the sin of the devil and pride and be taken away. So because of pride, God's going to judge them. Because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. Reproach means what?
Speak out against
a reproaching. The people, see, in other words, they hate Israel. These people hate Israel. They despise Israel more.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
Hatred.
Hatred against them. That's right. And so the reproach. And people today hate Israel. And they're going to hate them and hate them and hate them. And the Battle of Armageddon, there's going to be people of all nations of the world, north, south, east, and west. And northern, west of Russia, eastern over to China, and the western countries, England, the United States, probably, and the southern, Egypt, and all these others. It'll be against the people of Israel, that great battle of Armageddon, and the hill of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, in order to kill them, to slay them. Millions of people. You wonder how they would do it and why they would do it. It seems to be coming up and coming to that point, does it not? See, it seems to be everybody is just against Our president is against Israel and wants to take Israel away from the building up in Jerusalem, northern Jerusalem, and so on. And the Muslims, they say, that's our city. That part of Jerusalem is ours, and don't you dare build. And they'll have big battles and fights. So people are against Israel. Of course, talk about the peace of Israel between the Israelites and the Palestinians. They're not going to be in a peace there unless the Palestinians quit their war, quit their hatred to Israel. See, but they hate Israel just like these people here. They reproach and magnify themselves against the people of the Lord of Hosts. Who are these people? Who are the people of the Lord of Hosts? Israel. Talking about Israel, that's right. Talking about Israel. And now, then, were they perfect?
No.
Are people today that are saved perfect?
No.
We're just sinners saved by God's grace if we're saved. But the people of the Lord of Hosts, they have been against. And it says in Scripture, blessed are those that follow and help Israel. Something like that. What is it? Verse 6.
The verse of that?
Yes.
It's in the Old Testament. It says about, and the Lord will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel.
That's right. That's the way it is.
That's what we're seeing right now.
Seeing right now, aren't they?
Four eyes.
The blessing of those that bless Israel and cursing those that are against them. And so,
Pastor,
yes, Lars,
I'm curious to know the position of fornication of this church.
The position of fornication. Yeah. We're against it. Scripture's against it. No question about it. Death's set against it. That's the spoiling of our body. And God says we should have marriage, husband
and
wife.
What about like a couple that's going to get married and they know they're going to get married, but they have intercourse before they actually have the ceremony?
That's fornication. That's sin. That's against the Word of God. And the marriage ceremony should be first, and then married love second, and children following. The people got all mixed up these days. They have sexual relations, they have children. Then after the child is one or two, three, oh, they say, let's get married. See, this is not the way it ought to be. Marriage is honorable in all, as it says in Hebrews, the bed undefiled. Married relations, but adulterers and fornicators, God will judge them. That's our position in regard to that. Get married now. If people say, I've talked to people, we used to eat at a different place where a couple of women were getting married eventually. They were living with somebody, they had a baby, both of them had children. Why don't you get married? Well, we're waiting. And say, if it's going to be a big wedding, you're going to waste all their money, thousands and thousands of dollars, make a small, tiny little wedding, cost you a couple hundred dollars for flowers, get it done, and get it done right. That's the way it should be. Yes, Anna?
Maybe they could skip the flowers.
See, you can skip the flowers, absolutely. Just go ahead and I now pronounce you. So you get the pronouncement. Husband and wife, man and wife.
That is God's jewel, the family, the proper
yes.
way of doing it, too.
Yes, it is. Proper way of
doing it. We've got it so screwed up now that the society, not just our country,
all over.
The world is all messed up now because they did it the other way.
You're right, Joe. They're not the other way, the wrong way. And so, but Lawrence, that's a good question, and we're always glad to give our position of our church because we stand with about Bill.
All the things that we've been reading about Israel in the Old Testament and even through the New Testament, so many examples of God's will being explained to us, and today we still see the will of God in the situations of like what you were saying about how the world hates the Jews
yes.
and hates Israel. Constantly, every day, we're seeing what God has foreordained, and people do not see that. They do not stop and think the Bible really is true.
That's
we're
right.
seeing God's will before our eyes. Why don't we ask for the Lord's forgiveness for our sins and receive Christ as our Savior?
Yeah.
It's so plain.
Yes, it is
it's so
plain.
Obvious.
Scriptures are clear, and we just have to trust and ask the people to open their hearts and forsake their sin and accept Christ.
I really believe there's a remnant in every nation. Israel is not perfect. There's although the Bible states that they are the chosen people, Tel Aviv and Jerusalem are basically strongholds for a lot of different types of sin.
Yes. That's right. They're not perfect, absolutely. They're not converted. One day they will be. Yes, Bill.
that the Israeli people, many of them are atheists these days, but yes. God has used them throughout history as an example to us.
Yes.
To understand faith and to understand sin.
Right. So it's important. They worship, now notice in verse 11, they're against the people of the Lord, because in verse 11, the Lord will be terrible unto them. What's that word in sense of terrible? What sense?
Judgment on the
people against Israel. Judgment, that's right. And be against them. For he shall famish all the gods of the earth. What does famish mean?
Starve.
Starve, okay, it means starve. So, you know, you wonder about the gods. Have you ever been into a Hindu eating place where they have a Hindu there, a Buddha or whatever, and in front of that Buddha is what? There's a little
incense.
Dish. Incense and also a dish, and there's food. They're feeding their gods. Strange, crazy. Yes, Bill?
There are many examples of that in one of the wings of the Art Museum in Philadelphia, where you can see they have a temple of Shiva rebuilt inside the museum itself, and you go into this dark place with all these columns, and you see all these idols in there. And then you continue walking through, and you go through these Chinese and Japanese exhibits in there, and you see all of these different idols of Buddha and all of these other false things. Beautiful alabaster and jade and gold, precious things, but those idols, they've been sitting there for years in that museum, and how many years before that in the Far East, and none of those things were ever able to do anything
That's right. And the people that are silly enough to believe that those things that they made are going to help them. See, it's strange, isn't it?
People no problem at all, sir.
No what? No trouble. So,
kill me.
God's going to famish, not as if they can eat, all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship who? Verse number 11.
The Lord.
The Lord. Worship him. Everyone is placed, even all the outside. So when the Lord returns in the far fulfillment, people are going to, I don't understand how people are going to turn to the Lord, but that's what it's going to be. There's going to be a revival when the Lord Jesus comes
Holy
back.
Spirit.
Holy Spirit of God will do it and make them do it. Let's read verse number 12, 13, and 15, all the way to 15. Let's start. Verse 12. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he shall stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation, and dry like a wilderness, and flocks shall lie down in the midst of her. All the beasts of the nations, both of the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper levels on it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dropped carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation, place for beasts to lie down in? Every one that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his head. Right, verse 12, the Ethiopians, who are they?
People from Ethiopia.
Okay, where's Ethiopia?
Africa.
Part of Africa, Ethiopia. And so, even in that day of the resurrection or the restoration, was it?
Is Ethiopia close to Egypt?
Yes, it's over in this area here. Ethiopia. It's part of Africa. Ethiopia is over here. So,
it's kind of west of
Egypt.
Yes.
So the Mediterranean.
Mediterranean over here. Yes, we don't have it on this particular map, but Ethiopia will turn to the Lord and be slain by my sword, first of all. They'll be judged. So, the people, yes, what?
You're from Egypt in Africa?
Yes, Egypt is in Africa. See, this whole continent here.
We were there, but it just didn't seem like we were in Africa.
Yeah, for a couple centuries.
Yeah, so, but the Egyptians are a little different breed. They're Canaanites and they're, you know, Hamitic races, but deep Africa, Egyptians, a little bit different, but they're in general the same. I think they came from Ham. The Hamites went into Egypt.
Ethiopia, yeah. Egyptians?
Well, they're part of it, yes. Part of Ham, Hamitic races. Yes.
Egyptians were sort of light-skinned.
Well, that's true, no, but there's some light, but they're not all light.
That's the ones I saw.
Well, there's some that are lighter than they're strong.
Amr Sadat was a little bit on the dark side.
Yes, Amr Sadat. So it's the general nations, the Canaanite nations were the Hamitic races, And they're not completely, totally black, but they're the black type of race. The Cham, the word Cham in Hebrew means burnt. And so this is the Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Shemites were, of course, the Jews. The Japhethites, the Caucasians, and the others. Yes, yes.
I was just saying, I think she's curious to know what they are.
As far as the Egyptians. Yeah, they're... well, we've been there to Egypt.
I know, that's why I just remember light skin.
Yeah, well, some are lighter than others, you know, but they're still different. All right, they're certainly not the Caucasian. So then, in verse number 13, he will stretch out his hand. Who's the he going to stretch out his hand?
God.
God. Does God have hands literally?
No.
What does it mean, he will stretch out his hand?
His judgment upon him.
His judgment upon him.
It'll show mercy or grace.
Show mercy or grace, depending on how the hand is stretched. Either it's for judgment or for blessings.
For spanking.
For spanking. Depends on the hand. What do you call that when it says that God has hands, he can see, and he has ears, he can hear, when he actually does? What do you call it?
Anthropomorphism.
It has the form of man. Yes, go ahead, Anna.
Anthropopathism is
what?
The emotions.
That's right. When you speak of God having feeling, love, and joy, and peace, anthropopathism, the feelings of men. Anthropomorphism, the forms that we have. But this is the picture.
There's just a bunch of anthropopathism.
What is it?
You got me, folks.
I don't know that.
Anthropopathism, that is a feeling. See, the feeling. So these are forms. And so God will stretch out his hands against the north. Destroy Assyria. Where is Assyria?
Right
up in this area, green place. It's going to destroy it. Now, who did Assyria take when they came down here? What group of people?
The northern tribes.
The northern 10 tribes. Took them into captivity. Approximately what?
Was it 700
BC? And then who takes the southern two tribes of Judah?
Babylon.
And that was about approximately what?
560
something. Yeah, well, about 600 BC, roughly. About 700, 600, about 100 years different. And so the whole area of Assyria is going to be destroyed. God's going to judge that in the near fulfillment, as of course far fulfillment as well. And then what's going to happen to Nineveh? Who is Nineveh?
Great city.
Great city. Assyria. Capital of Assyria, sitting right here. Here's Nineveh.
That's where Jonah had to go.
Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. Yep. Instead of going from here east, where did he go?
West.
Went over to Spain.
Well, he didn't have a compass.
He didn't have a compass.
Can't blame him.
But the Lord had to spit him out of the whale, the great fish.
He went to watch the bullfights.
Maybe the bullfights in Spain. Oh, anyway. So, Nineveh, desolation. What does that mean?
And nothing less.
Nothing less. Questions at PFTBC.org. Give us a call, 856-261-9018. Give us a comment. Give us a call. Tell us you're listening. And then verse 14. What's going to happen to the flock? Who are the flocks? What does that mean? The flocks shall lie down.
The remnant?
What is it?
The remnant?
Well, it could be, but...
No, it's not.
No. Sheep?
Okay. Sheep, cattle, flocks of sheep, flocks of goats, flocks of cattle. So the flocks shall lie down in the midst of her and in Nineveh. Now, normally in a big city, do you usually have animals lying down in the midst of it? No. In fact, they don't let you have animals with certain restrictions. In fact, they restrict certain snakes and
diseases.
Bill?
They do in India. They allow animals on the streets, the monkeys and the cows.
Yeah.
Man, look at that city.
What is their belief as far as killing animals? And
they have. They believe that they're holy.
That's right, the cow is holy. See, that's exactly right.
Well, tell that to girls when a Hindu worship Arby's.
Yes, Hindu worship at Arby's.
It's a good one.
Might be killing a relative.
Maybe killing a relative because they believe in the reincarnation. Reincarnation. So, yeah, huh?
I think all those places have animals. They live up above and underneath of the animals.
Yep. Of course, in the country, we have animals, even
but
in
I
our
think
country.
In these cities.
The cities, sometimes they do, and of course. But there's restrictions usually. Remember, they have cockfights, certainly they restrict that. And one of the football players now with our team here in Philadelphia,
yeah, Michael Vick,
he was a terrible man, killing this different thing. Yes, Anna?
We have a report of a coyote out there.
That's right, a report of a coyote right out in our street, see? Shouldn't be there.
Really?
In fact, a man was almost killed by a bear yesterday. Did you see that on the news? Mm-hmm. A man out there in one of the cities, I don't remember.
Yeah.
The bear just took him down, scratched his face, and clunked on his ear, and he put his eye out. And the man said to the testimony, we could hear the crunching on his skull. Terrible thing. His wife frightened him away, I don't know what she looked like, but she's fresh. Yes, I knew, that's right. And so he's really, she was scratched up. But when I got to know, I don't remember the state that it was in. But this big bear, big black bear came right out.
We got black bears up north.
Yeah, is that right?
Because we do.
Now, the man said this. The man wanted to stay standing. If he got him down, he'd tear out his neck or his stomach or something and kill him. But he just kept standing. And the bear was standing there trying to do what he could do. And the wife was out there beating on him. Then all of a sudden, the bear turned. I guess a dog was out there. The bear left him. So the man was spared. He would have been killed very definitely. So wild animals.
He's still standing when a bear's knocking
him. Well, I know. He just stood up. He just kept standing because he knew if he once fell, that'd be the end. You know, then once you get him down, that bear's going to just take his throat and try to chop off his head as it was.
Happens in New Jersey all the time.
The flock shall let down. The beasts of the nations. Cormorant, bitter shall last, the emperor nettles. Their voice shall sing the windows. Desolation be in the thresholds. And so, in other words, you know, animals for people. Now, some people believe that people are like animals. Some people are they not? Like animals?
Oh, yes, they are.
Anna?
Animals seem to be losing their fear of people.
Yes, animals are losing their fear of people. Originally, God put the fear of animals in people. But now, especially when you're tame. You saw just yesterday those lions over there
in Russia.
Russia, yeah. Where our people are from.
Ukraine.
Yeah,
there are lions over there, the lion tamers.
Circus.
I saw that lion on the television, on the news, just come out there, man, he got hurt, he didn't see the whole picture, but they finally got the lion. What were the men doing in the lion's cage in the first place?
They were the
trainer. I know, but what are they doing trying to tame a wild beast? Stupid as far as I'm concerned. Wild beasts are always wild, no matter how much. It just had a one little thing, they're right back, they're going to kill them, see, that's what happens. Remember that other fellow, remember that one that was taming the...
Roy.
Sigmund Roy, that's right. Yes, they were training these people, and then one came over and just almost killed that little fellow. He can hardly talk now. He's just so infirm. But there's an awful thing. But the beasts are going to be in the midst of her, and the nation.
Like, why would you put like a symbol of a crocodile on a shirt when a crocodile is made to kill anything it sees?
That's right.
You know? It just doesn't make sense.
That makes sense. Is your crocodile on your shirt? No.
Yeah.
It is?
I have shirts.
Okay. So you're right. Absolutely. It's made to kill. In fact, they got a little tame crocodile on. I saw this on the television this last couple weeks ago in the news.
You tame the crocodile?
Somebody's got a little crocodile. They're taming the crocodile. And
well, as long as it stays little.
Yeah. And it's patting him. It's all for it. Is there any surety that wicked or beasts, untamed beasts are going to stay that way? Any assurance that that's going to stay that way? Wild animals?
The book of Revelation tells about the beasts of the earth, and pestilence and all that stuff, so it's obvious they're going to be attacking people during tribulation.
I get people to tell the millennium, then they'll be quiet and quiet. Yes, Anna?
Oh, maybe. Oh,
yeah, Dan, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Happy birthday to Anna. Thank you also for tonight's Bible study from the, what state's that up there?
Bear
Republic.
Bear Republic.
Is that California?
Yes.
Joe and Norma Fascio. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
Well, let's hear from more people.
And more people. Give us a call, just 856-261-9018, or the questions at bftbc.org. And tell us you're tuned in, and if not, turned on to our ministry here. Uncover the desolation. Then in verse 15, this is the rejoicing city. Who is that?
Jerusalem.
How can a city rejoice?
It's the people in the city.
All right, the people.
That's what they assumed.
All right, the people in the city. And of course, you say the city for the people in the city. Are cities rejoicing these days?
Not many of them.
Not too many.
You talk to the Congress, they think we're doing great.
Yeah, the Congress thinks we're doing great. What is the basis of rejoicing? What should be the basis? Can Christians rejoice?
We ought to.
Can Christians in trouble rejoice? What is it?
Rejoice in Jesus Christ.
Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly can. Join the Lord in the power of his might. And so this is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly. What does that mean? Carelessly.
Without care.
Without care and
without very much diligence.
Not diligence, not serving the Lord, not interested in things.
In their mind, they thought they were serving the Lord and giving everything.
They were?
Yes. In a worry-free manner, without care. Like
without any care, in a worry-free manner, just as if nothing's going to harm them, see? Now, I have a very serious, sincere burden for South Korea, for example. Just today, North Korea has been showing its might. And so we have missionaries, and our missionary friend, Dr. Jung, and Dr. Yoon's over there in South Korea. And we have some of our troops over there. I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 troops, American troops. And they're just flexing their muscles. How much is it going to take to have the North Korea come right down again and declare war? They've never had peace, North and South Korea. They just have a stalemate. And a demilitarized zone. So
I say we take a preemptive strike and bomb the hell out of it. There we go.
We don't use that word. We're going to bomb your hell. We don't talk about hell. That's what the world said. But anyway, we have problems when we are too peaceful and not understand.
Yeah, he's Korean.
He's Korean. In fact,
also, we have a problem with people thinking that everything's all right here, and don't worry about the terrorists, the Muslim terrorists that are here from Al-Qaeda.
You do know that Korea is getting infiltrated heavily by Muslims now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Heavily infiltration.
Oh, yeah.
And our country also, and southern border is coming through, not only just the Mexicans, all kinds of
everything.
People from Muslim faith, terrorists all over the place, from the north and the south, so we can't be resting carelessly either in our country.
Got to be always under to be paranoid about, because God's got it under control.
That's true, but we've got also, as the
we have to do our part.
As the chaplain said, remember that?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. See, you've got to be both.
And when they
were building the wall, there are two things they had. One on one hand,
and the other. Sword.
What is it?
The trowel and the sword.
A trowel on one hand to build, a sword on the other to protect them from the enemy. So we got to be watchful. We can't dwell carelessly. We've got to be very careful. And they that are in their heart, what do they say in their heart in verse 15, these people?
I am.
What does that mean?
That's God's name.
They say in their heart, I am.
They're the best.
There's none beside me.
They're the best.
They're the best, and they exalt themselves as deity. Now, do some people think that they're powerful enough to be that way almost today? Some people think that. See, the Antichrist is going to say he is God. He appears God and appear in the temple. Yes, Bob?
I wanted to say something about North and South Korea. When we were there, I forget how many years ago that was.
Mm-hmm.
And we were concerned about North Korea.
Yes.
And South Korea is wonderful. And the way it looks.
Diligent.
And I remember talking to you and Dr. John.
Yes.
Aren't you concerned about North Korea? And he wasn't. They didn't seem to have a care about it.
I know.
And I couldn't figure it out because they're right over there any minute deciding.
That's right. But as we approached the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, there were parapets here, in other words, with men with guns, along the way, along that road, see? And because the river, they can go from the river from the north to the south and attack us and go in there.
North Koreans are kind of built for nothing else but warfare. And they're not tactically or technically advanced. They train their bodies to be built for warfare. That's it.
Yes. And now they got tanks and guns and all kinds of ammunition. They're showing off all the things that they have to attack. But suddenly I am. There's none beside me. And actually, that's one of the problems of these new Bible version translations. When they take it and themselves say, I'm the one, I'm going to add to God's word, subtract God's word, or change it some other way. They're making themselves as God, changing his words. And become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down. Everyone that passes by shall hiss and wag his hand. What does that mean, to hiss? They're going to be ashamed. That's right. And they're going to be beasts around. And this is going to be the fate of those that reject the God of Israel. It's our fate, too, if we reject him. And we've got to be very careful to praise the Lord. We're going to stop right here for tonight. We'll pick up, Lord willing, chapter 3. We'll start next Thursday. I should be back in time from our meetings, if everything goes well, and we'll be back to see you at that time. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight?
Was this free?
What?
Do we have to give an offering?
No offering. It's all me. Free? Oh, yes, absolutely. We don't ever have an offering. So we have an offering box back there, and as the Lord leads people, they put the offerings in the box. is absolutely free. We don't have any other comments or questions. Well, with that, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy words. We thank thee that the words of Zephaniah were true. Help us, Lord, to love thee and to love our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be those that are not now knowing him as Savior. May they trust him and accept him. Help us as a nation, Lord, that we don't get so big and so powerful and so strong to think we're the only ones, when indeed trouble may come, and may come very soon, as it did in 9/11, killing almost 3,000 of our people. So protect us. We look to thee for help, and we ask that our nation and our people and our leaders will look to thee as well. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.